In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. With tremendous joy and festive celebration today, the Church honors this feast called the Dormition of the Most Holy Theotokos. The Dormition is also called or known as the falling asleep of the Mother of God. And it means, or its reference is, that no corruption ever touched her flesh. And it also means that she never suffered any serious illness. To say that Our Lady fell asleep means she passed peacefully into eternal life. Today's great celebration is calling to our minds the first person of the entire human race to share body and soul. That's the key, body and soul, in the very glory of God. And we call that theosis, or divinization. Every other human being who has ever fallen asleep, you and I one day will fall asleep, and our bodies will be placed in the ground, and we're going to have to awake the glorified body. Today's great feast, therefore, is twofold. Number one, not only is it honoring our mother, the first of our race, to participate in the very divinization in the highest way possible, but today's feast is also reminding you and me, and encouraging you and me, and emboldening you and me to keep on the path toward divinization, because in the end, we're all moving toward the same objective, to share in God's glory, body and soul. Note that we Christians say that our deceased have fallen asleep. One time, it was about 3 years ago, I was with he was a rather eccentric Russian Orthodox monk, and I got to know him. Eccentric, he actually has, 10 children. But I found out in time that it was because he would adopt children that would be left on the streets or in poverty. So he took them in, and he lived in his home, and he raised, literally, a number of children. And one day we went to the cemetery, and he bought a plot for himself and for his immediate relatives, particularly his mom. And I was looking at the tombstones, and I saw on one of them, for his mom, he's written, born on such and such a date. And it says, and fell asleep in the Lord on such and such a date. And I looked at him, and growing up in the Western Church, I'd never heard this expression. And I asked him what it meant. And he told me, that's what we're celebrating today, that we don't die, we fall asleep. And so I've written in my will, I want on my tombstone when I fall asleep. I don't want R.I.P. or dead, died on such a day. No. It means, because for the baptized person, there is no thing as death. No, Jesus the Christ, when he died on the cross and he rose on the third day, he put to death itself. What really means is he put to death corruption of the body, the decomposition. That's what happened to Mary on August 15th. Death, meaning the corrupting forces of the earth, could not touch her body. So, but for the rest of us, what does it mean as baptized? Because our bodies do go into the grave and they will experience a decomposition. However, our souls go to a quote-unquote place. We can't see it. We can't find it. We don't quite understand what it is. But we know it goes to a place, our soul, beyond the grave. And what our souls do when we fall asleep in the Lord is they're waiting. They're waiting to be rejoined with the body on the final judgment. But it's going to be a glorified body. In other words, no corruption will ever touch that body again. And that's what we sing. That's what we mean when we sing those words in the creed. Quote, I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. End of quote. For the righteous, it's a resurrection unto life eternal. And for the unrighteous, it's a resurrection unto eternal condemnation. And those are the very words we find in the Gospel of St. John. So it's divine revelation. The Theotokos, however, right now, as we speak, is experiencing resurrection unto glory in both her body and her soul. And that's been the constant teaching of the church since the time of the apostles. This isn't something that developed later on in church history. No. This was something handed on from the very beginning, that death, the corrupting forces of death, never touched Our Lady's body. And could it be any other way? How could the one who conceived, who gave birth, who nursed, and who nurtured the God of the living experience in her own flesh corruption? It's inconceivable. Unlike every other human being, only the Virgin Mother, the Holy Virgin Mother, in her earthly life, experienced a real, a genuine, an actual communion with God. No one else, I don't care how holy or righteous a man or woman was in the Old Testament, never did they have communion with God on earth. But our Holy Lady did. God literally, physically touched her flesh. The Word of God made His abode in her womb. God used her flesh to reveal Himself to us. Rightly, therefore, in her flesh, she participates in the very glory of God now as we speak, and it's called divinization. It could be no other way. Moses experienced God in the midst of darkness and fire. He had an experience of God, but he never saw God in person. He never was able to touch God. Elijah, probably the only other man in the Old Testament, similar to Moses, who actually had a real experience of God. And it was in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a cloud, very close to God, and yet they did not touch God, and God did not touch them. Maybe that's why it's those two men, those two prophets, who appear with Christ on Mount Tabor at the Transfiguration. Because they did have as close of an experience of God that you could have on earth. And yet it comes nowhere close to what the Blessed Mother the Theotokos experienced in her own flesh. She was touched by God. It's inconceivable then that corruption will be allowed to touch her body. Rather, now the Theotokos stands between God and the whole entire human race. She made God a son of man and made men and women children of God. By her, through her flesh, earthly flesh now has become heavenly, making possible for the entire human race to experience divinization. Holy Theotokos is therefore called rightly the Queen of the Living and the Mother of the Living. How then could corruption touch her body? It's inconceivable. What's the earth? What's the grave? These are places of corruption, placed in the dirt, placed in the tomb, placed in the sepulcher, awaiting the forces of death to take that flesh and to eat it and to decompose it. Placing somebody in a tomb is housing them in the forces of corruption. But for the Theotokos, who housed in her own very body life himself, she who became an ark of God, she who became a tabernacle of God, how could she be then entombed in death itself? Inconceivable. Rather, appropriately, with her son, she was taken to him in body and soul. And that's been the constant teachings of the fathers from the earliest of days. Why? Because they received it from the apostles. And not only did Mary, Holy Mary, go to heaven, what's she doing? She has a body, she has a soul, and so she stands closer to God than of anything else God has ever created, including the angels. Our mother is closer to God than even the angels. And for that reason, the church implores her powerful intercession. Isaiah writes, quote, "And the seraphim stood around God." End of quote. And for that reason, the church is constantly taught that of all nine ranks of angels, the seraphims are the ones closest to God. And yet, King David writes these words, quote, "Upon thy right hand did stand the Queen." End of quote. Thus, Holy Mary stands closer to God than even the highest ranked angels, the seraphim. Ranked so high that the church has also applied another verse of the Psalms to her, another verse of King David. Quote, "I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise you forever, ages for ages unto ages." End of quote. And forevermore the church sings to the Blessed Mother her words, "My soul magnifies the Lord." In all of our prayers, we constantly invoke the intercession of the Blessed Mother. For ages unto ages, Holy Mary is to be praised. She was the one of whom the prophets prophesied. She is the starting point of the apostles. She is the mainstay of every martyr. She's the foundation of every confessor of the faith. For the church on earth, she is our glory. And for all the saints in heaven, she is their delight. Being the God birther, she's the fount, she's the root of all good things. And she's the crown, and she's the perfection of all the saints. Unceasingly, therefore, the church turns to the most holy Theotokos, that by her powerful, maternal, and life-giving intercession, you and I might experience the great mercy and the great grace of Almighty God. Why? We are her inheritance. She's our mother. She's more solicitous for our well-being than we are even of ourselves. So today, and for the next eight days, we call to mind the Dormition. Pray in your hearts these words. O Mother Mary, increase the capacity of my heart to receive the grace to glorify the one who took your flesh. That just as in that incarnation, Mother, I too might become an incarnation of your Son in this world, giving glory to the Father, to the life-giving Holy Spirit. Christ is among us.